They came out of the outer dark with the silence of the deep. Gray armored phantoms whose jagged maw seemed to swallow the stars. To those who survived the Badab War, the Carcharodons were less a chapter than a legend writ in blood. Strangers to friend and foe alike, they returned from beyond the galaxy's farthest reaches and chose the loyalist cause, taking the Emperor's side against any who would defy his Imperium. Ask the Archives who they are, and the Archives fall silent. In open Imperial records, the Carcharodons leave no tracks. No recent rolls of honor. No catalog of campaigns. Worse, they are easily misnamed and misread. Confused with obscure brethren whose sigils and sobriquets swim in the same waters. Void Reapers, Blood Sharks, and other lesser-known kin. Yet the truth survives in sealed places. Behind the Inquisition's sigils lie ancient treaties that whisper of the chapter's beginning. The oldest of these fragments are gathered in the mythos Angelica Mortis, a work of the Secretariat's Militum of Terra in the closing years of M35. There, amid oblique lines and broken context, a chapter is named Carcharodon Astra. The text speaks of their dispatch into the outer darkness upon an endless voyage to ravage the foes of mankind, and of a remit unbound to set about the traitor, the alien, and the renegade without mercy, and harrow them in their places of strength. That mythos, in turn, descends from an older source now lost, born of the shadowed centuries around the Astropath Wars of late M32 and early M33, an era so thoroughly purged that less remains of it than of the heresy or the Great Crusade. Other records change the name. Space Sharks and Low Gothic, Carcharodons, or Carcharodons Astra in High. Yet they agree on the bones of the thing. The same predatory iconography, the same cold method, the same bestial, calculated savagery at war. To this chapter, the Imperium entrusted a sacred, unending duty. Range beyond the borders of man in the lightless interstellar night. Find the threats before they break into Imperial space, and break them first. What little more is known comes from those few Imperial servants, unlucky or blessed enough to meet them in the flesh. Explorers, rogue traders, wayfarers on the galaxy's edge. They bring back splinters of encounters, half-seen strikes in the void, and the aftermath of hunts. Beyond such fragments, and the scattered data vaults that hold them, Only stories remain. Tales of sudden descents and red harvests scattered across the stars. They are loyalists of an unknown founding, whispered to be as ancient as the second, or as recent as the 23rd, and the alleged successors of the Raven Guard, though that is unconfirmed, with Corvus Korax cited as Primarch, which is also unconfirmed. They keep no successors of their own. Sources are unreliable, and so are the very names by which they are known, which are used as interchangeably in the chronicles of the Badab War, and earlier records all the same. Their chapter master is Shade Lord Tiberos the Redwake. Their allegiance is to the Imperium of Man. Their colors are gray. Their war cry is silence, and their companies fight in an eerie, absolute hush. They are, and have always been, fleet-based, but not in the common crusading pattern. They follow the rarer nomad predation mode of war. Long, solitary hunts, far from charted lanes, striking where the void itself is their shield. Their fortress monastery is the battle barge Nikor. In the wake of Badab, with the Tacitid ascent of the Firehawks, new masters over the Mantis Warriors' domains, in the Endymion Cluster, the Carcharodons were granted harvest rites across those feral and feudal worlds of the Maelstrom Zone. They ransacked the Mantis Warriors' hidden armories, took their tithes in flesh and steel, and vanished once more into the Ultima Segmentum's dark. Since the rending of the galaxy and the dawn of the Era Indomitus, they have been granted the Mantis Warriors' former homeworld of Uthika to hold and hone as they will. Some say Carcharodons is only a shard of their truer, older name, set in High Gothic as Carcharodons Astra. As for their age, Chapter and Imperial records alike claim that they have served the Void Father, or the Emperor, for 10 standard millennia. Yet this alone would not account for the weight of their myth. If anything, the mystery has deepened, growing darker with each blood price paid and each unheralded strike. Now, the very word Carcharodon conjures the black between the stars and the cold hunger that swims there. And when their pale shadows fall, death comes in silence. What little the Imperium knows of the Carcharodons paints a picture of a chapter unlike any other. Entirely fleet-based, they have no world to call their own, and so their structure and methods diverge sharply from the more conventional brotherhoods of the Adeptus Astartes. Isolation has shaped them. Their void ships are a mismatched flotilla, vessels of wildly differing design and origin, some ancient beyond memory, others scavenged or seized, and then rebuilt by their artificers into forms barely resembling their original blueprints. The same holds true for their warriors. Battle brothers of the Carcharodons often march to war clad in relics of bygone millennia. Phobos R-017 pattern bolters, Mark V Heresy era plate, and war gear spanning 10,000 years of Imperial history. These are not trophies, but necessities born of self-sufficiency. Each weapon reforged and re-sanctified countless times to serve again and again. Their organization, too, drifts far from the strictures of Gilliman's Codex. While observers report that they loosely follow the tactical doctrines laid down in that ancient tome, the structure of their command is their own. The chapter is divided into fully independent battle companies, each a war host unto itself. Every company carries with it an auxiliary of scouts to serve as its eyes and ears, and a corps of Terminator veterans who act as both executioners and the personal guard of their company master. Reserve companies, it seems, have no place in their order of war. Nor do they bear the neat symbols and insignia of other chapters. Instead, their warriors mark themselves with personal signs, totems, and savage primitivist etchings, glyphs more akin to tribal scars than the heraldry of the Codex. Whether these are marks of rank or oath, or of kill rites, remains unknown. For the Carcharodons are silent about their inner order, as they are merciless in battle. Yet, not all is alien to the Imperium's gaze. Chaplains and librarians walk among them much as they do in other chapters. Apothecaries and tech marines, however, are rarely seen in the field. It is believed they are kept aboard the fleet, their skills too vital to be risked outside the void arcs that carry the chapter's survival itself. Taken together, each Carcharodon company may number a little over 100 initiates, with an additional cadre of 2 to 3 dozen neophytes. But beyond these fragments, the chapter's true strength remains a secret. What can be confirmed is that beneath their savage reputation, the Carcharodons fight with a strict discipline in deployment, masters of sudden, overwhelming shock assaults, bearing more resemblance to the zealous Black Templars than to any of their supposed Raven Guard forebears. Within this strange order of battle exists ranks unknown to the wider Adeptus Astartes, though they echo familiar titles. Where others bear the title of Chapter Master, the Carcharodon's ruler is the Shade Lord. The title is ancient, once belonging to Arcus Fowl, an exiled Raven Guard commander during the Great Crusade. Its survival in the Void suggests that Fowl may have founded the chapter himself. In place of captains, the Carcharodons entrust each company to a company master. And an additional title that can be bestowed upon a company master is Reaper Prime. This role commands the Red Tithes, the Bloody Harvests, where populations are culled for chapter serfs and fresh aspirants. Harvester Prime is another burden upon a company master. The Harvester Prime oversees the Grey Tithes, expeditions into the Outer Dark to claim archaeotech and lost technology. These relics are traded with the Mechanicus in fulfillment of ancient oaths, keeping the chapter armed and supplied. The strike leader is the equivalent of a sergeant, and Void Brother is the title given to the Battle Brothers themselves. At the heart of every company is the Red Brethren, the chapter's Terminator elite. Ever armed and ever armored, their plate is etched with exile marks in crimson and adorned with predator's teeth, trophies of the endless hunt. Their role extends beyond that of veterans. They are bound to their company master, yet they answer as well to the Shade Lord's distant will. It is the Red Brethren who ensure that the hidden objectives of the chapter are fulfilled. Even when decades of separation leave a company adrift in the void. In this way, each Carcharodon war host becomes a blade thrust into the darkness. Autonomous, merciless, and yet ever tethered to the will of their Shade Lord, carrying out his edicts across the forgotten reaches of the galaxy. The Carcharodons endure in exile only through a ceaseless cycle of harvests, rites as old as their banishment into the void. Their ranks are never allowed to dwindle, though the cost of renewal is steep and written in blood. It is the charge of every Reaper Prime, beyond command of his company, to see the chapter supplied with new aspirants. This duty is fulfilled through the dreaded Red Tithes. When the Edicts of Exile grant permission, the gray-clad descend upon Imperial worlds. Populations vanish into the holds of their ships, swept away to feed the needs of the fleet. The vast majority of these captives find no glory in the gene forges. They are made into slaves, serfs, and laborers, souls pressed into endless toil to keep the nomad predation fleets alive in the long dark. Only a fraction, chosen for age and spirit, are put through the trials. Fewer still endure long enough to emerge as initiates of the 10th Company. The rest die broken, their remains consigned to the void. Even among the Adeptus Astartes, where death is the crucible of ascension, the Carcharodon's attrition is extreme. It is the inevitable legacy of their isolation and of the grim necessity that defines their way of war. But the Red Tithes are not their only recourse. In desperate times, when the war in the deeps bleeds them too heavily, the Carcharodons call upon an older, darker bargain. They're pact with the Ashen Claws. Born from the 18th chapter of the Raven Guard, the Ashen Claws turned away during the Horus Heresy, disgusted by both Imperium and War Master alike. they became marauders and exiles, raising the Night Lords of Nostramo and then vanishing into shadow. The Imperium believes them long lost. Carcharodons know otherwise. Dealings with these renegades are perilous. War material is the coin, and flesh the prize. The Ashen Claw's master treats with contempt, mocking and provoking the emissaries sent by the Shade Lord, testing their restraint and seeking weakness. Only in the direst need, when their own red tithes cannot replenish the debt, do the Carcharodons risk such exchanges. For Adar-Gaddis, the Ashen Claw's domain, is a place where negotiation often ends in bloodshed. Just as the Reaper Prime harvests flesh, the Harvester Prime gathers steel. It is his duty to keep the chapter armed and supplied, scouring the lost worlds of the Outer Dark for relics of forgotten ages. These recoveries are known as Grey Tithes. Through ancient agreements with the priesthood of Mars, such treasures are bartered for weapons, armor, and vehicle. The lifeblood of the chapter's eternal hunt. Yet necessity makes mockery of oaths. In times of desperation, the Grey Tithes are not always delivered to the Mechanicus. Instead, they may be turned into bargaining chips with the Ashen Claws. Pacts of iron and blood, forged in the shadows, trading ancient technology for the only resource rarer than Archaeotech. Fresh flesh for the chapter's endless war. In the Badab War, the Carcharodons revealed their preferred art of war. Lightning strikes, sudden as a predator's bite. They scorned long sieges and drawn-out battles, preferring instead to descend with overwhelming speed or creep in unseen until the moment of slaughter. To the untrained eye, their assaults seemed mindless, a frenzy of bloodshed without order or plan. Survivors, few as they were, often spoke of berserkers loosed without restraint. But this is a deception. Their fury conceals a brutal efficiency. The Carcharodons' methods are simple, reliable, and devastating. Armored vehicles, they know well. But these are not the heart of their arsenal. Their true strength lies in their heavy infantry. Great masses of mobile Astartes who crash upon the enemy like a tidal wave of ceramite and teeth. Always, they prefer to be the aggressor, never the defender. Their hunts begin with the scout. Neophytes, land speeders, bike squads, all probing for weakness. Once the prey's vitals are exposed, the Carcharodons fall upon them without warning. No bombardments herald their coming. No armored columns grind forward. Only silence. Then, the sudden roar of drop pods, the shriek of thunderhawks, or the thunderclap of massed teleportation. Battleline squads, close support brethren, and Terminator elites all descend together, smashing through the chosen point. If their assault is blunted, they vanish. Withdrawals are executed with the same suddenness as their attack, fading into the void before the foe can rally. Then, with cold patience, they strike again at a softer place. This cycle continues until the prey breaks. And then, Carcharodons dig deep, tearing into the rear lines, the supply, the heart. At close range, they are the most terrible. Bolters pressed to flesh, chain swords gnashing, blades sawing through armor and bone alike. Most disturbing of all, their killing is conducted in silence. Orders pass only through encrypted voxlinks. No war cries, no victory shouts, no roars of challenge. Only the sound of bolters barking and flesh rending. To witness such carnage enacted without a word is to feel the abyss staring back. In the void, their savagery is no less inventive. In boarding actions, the Carcharodons wield ancient weapons of terror, the Ursus Claws. These monstrous harpoons, each the size of a frigate, drive into the enemy hulls, locking in place with magnetic bite. Then, on chains as thick as towers, the prey is dragged inexorably toward the waiting jaws of the Carcharodon's warships. Once within reach, the gray-armored Astartes pour into the ruptured vessels, and the real butchery begins. It is a tactic first birthed by the World Eaters in the Great Crusade, and one the Charodons still perfect. Despite their long exile, the Carcharodons are fiercely loyal to the Imperium. More than that, they are devout. Many carrying prayer scrolls etched into their armor. And they honor shrines and temples wherever they find them. To them, the Emperor is not only the master of mankind, but Rangu, the Void Father, sire of their Forgotten One, their unknown Primarch. Like them, his watch was eternal. A beacon against the dark. Their creed is ancient, older than the modern imperial cult. They remember him, not as a distant godhead, but as the living giant who once walked among men. Terra itself, to them, is not bureaucracy or dogma. It is holy earth, primal and sacred. It is this faith that has bound them through 10,000 years of exile, where none expected them to endure. Their culture is steeped in primitivist symbolism. Armor is carved and inked with scrimshaw talismans. jagged maws, skulls, ocean predators, rendered in stark, looping lines. Their war gear is sacred, never to be touched by serf or lower-ranked brother. This taboo is called tapu, and to break it is unthinkable. Yet, for all their piety, they are merciless. No surrender is accepted, no quarter granted. To them, the galaxy is divided into two absolutes: ally or foe. Any who stand against the Imperium, Xenos, heretic, or misguided human, are annihilated without hesitation. Their ferocity eclipses even the youngest blood claws of Fenris. Their slaughter so absolute that merciless seems too faint a word. The Carcharodons have no homeworld. Like the Black Templars, they are a chapter of the fleet, forever voyaging. But unlike the Templars, they do not crusade along the Emperor's highways. Their way is rarer still: the nomad predation pattern. In this mode, a fleet is its own world, self-sustaining and self-repairing, prowling beyond the Imperium's light. Every ship must serve in battle, as well as support, for weakness cannot be tolerated. The fleet strikes only when it's sure, descending upon prey with sudden violence, stripping what it needs: resources, recruits, relics, and then vanishing before retaliation can come. It is here that the red tithes take their shape. Survivors of their assaults, if human and untainted, are called for potential initiates, stripped of memory and loyalty through brutal conditioning. They are reforged into scouts of the 10th Company. For a decade or more, they fight, gathering exile marks, tattoos spiraling over pale skin, earned in blood. When the time comes, their number is burned away, and they emerge reborn as Void Brothers, clad in power armor, their old names forgotten, replaced with their true Void names. The true sire of the Carcharodons is a question wrapped in silence and mystery. Only a single gene seed extraction has ever been recorded, from a fallen warrior recovered by the Death Watch. That apothecary reported the organs untainted, though marked by long genetic degradation. More telling were the traces of Ravenguard lineage, rare markers that align with the pale skin and black eyes seen among many of the chapter's eldest. Whether Corvus Corax is their Primarch cannot be proven, but the evidence is strong. 10 millennia of drift, however, have made them something else entirely. Their gene seed still molds their appearance: pallid flesh, deathly in hue, and in the eldest, eyes of pure black. Sclera and iris alike, drowned in shadow. To endure the endless void, most Carcharodons sleep in cryotanks between campaigns. Their Sosan membranes allow them to weather the cold nothingness of interstellar gulfs. The younger brothers rely on this hibernation most. The elder seldom rest at all. Among them, there are whispers of ancients who have not closed their eyes in centuries. Like all Astartes, the Carcharodons carry a flaw in their blood. Theirs is called the Chill of the Void, a curse that deepens their isolation and sharpens their savagery. It manifests in stages. Stage 1, coldly formal. The afflicted withdraws even from his brothers, speaking with icy distance, often in high Gothic alone. Stage 2, merciless. He grants no quarter, executing all enemies without hesitation, whether they bear arms, surrender, or hold vital knowledge. None are spared. Stage 3, silent as the depths. At last, he withdraws entirely, refusing leadership, fighting alone, as wordless as the void itself. This curse amplifies what they already are, taciturn, merciless, and silent predators. To face a Carcharodon at the edge of this abyss is to face death without pity and silence without end.